Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. Thank you. May be seated. Let's make the young people welcome today. Amen.
My brokenness brought me to you. story of youth. So I'm thankful for the scars, 'cause without them I wouldn't know your heart. And I know they'll always tell of who you are. So forever I am thankful for the scars. Now I'm standing in confidence with the strength of your faithfulness. And I'm not who I was before. No, I don't have to fear anymore. I'm thankful for the scars, 'cause without them I wouldn't know your heart. And I know they'll always tell of who you are. So forever I am thankful for the scars. I can see how you deliver me. In your hands, in your feet, I find my victory. I can see how you deliver me. In your hands, in your feet, I found my victory. I'm thankful for your scars, 'cause without them I wouldn't know your heart. And with my life I'll tell of who you are. So forever I am thankful. I'm thankful for.
Great singing this morning. I enjoyed those songs, amen. Enjoyed the choir. I like that I Go to the Rock. That's a song that I've been actually hoping we could learn for a while. I like that. Enjoyed those songs too. It's Still the Blood. The scars. We all have scars. And some of them on the inside, some of them on the outside. Some in both places. You got your Bible this morning. We're going to be in Psalms chapter number 26. It's just 12 verses. We're going to read those verses, and the title of the message this morning is Examining the Evidence. This is something that's been on my heart and mind a lot this week, and I got to thinking about it. Of course, Brother Allen and I often have conversation about it, something called apologetics. The word apologetics is not an apology. It is the defense of the Christian faith. It's basically examining all the evidence. There is a book entitled Evidence That Demands a Verdict. And here's something to understand as you examine whether or not you believe in Jesus Christ. The evidence supports it. If you want to really study extra-biblical and you want to look at archaeological evidence, the Bible says in one place that if these should hold their peace, even the rocks would cry out. You know, every time an archaeologist overturns a spade overturns a stone, they discover things that prove the Bible to be true. It was part of our topic in our subject of Bible school is the title was Dig, and it was about archaeological evidence to support Christianity. Now, folks, the evidence is overwhelming. And I was thinking about that, and then I started studying, looking through the Word of God about examining the evidence. And just to be honest with you this morning, there's so much, I'm not even going to be able to get into the apologetic side. Because I think there's something else. Because you got to stop and realize this morning that for you to be a Christian, it takes faith. If you're going to be a person who is an atheist who believes in evolution, I want to tell you, it takes a lot of faith. And what I've found is even when you do go over the evidence and you look at the extra-biblical truths that there are, when you study the writings of Josephus or you go back in history and look at those who wrote about Christ or you study all the archaeological evidence that supports the Bible, if people are set that they're not going to follow God, here's what it ultimately comes down to is they say, we will not have that man rule over us. Doesn't matter what the evidence said. They're simply not going to bow to God. So what it takes is you ultimately have to have faith. And the Bible tells us that except we would come as a little child, we'll not enter therein. Now what does that mean? That means we come with a childlike faith and a trust in God. And without that, it really doesn't matter how much archaeological evidence I pour on you. It doesn't matter how much I stand up here and tell you that if you study what scientists say behind closed doors, they'll tell you that evolution is nothing but a theory, and the reason that people choose it is because they simply are not going to bow down to God, okay? So pouring the evidence, and I'm probably going to, and I'm sure Brother Allen is too, it's on our hearts. We can't help it. As we look around us today and see a world that's drifting farther and farther away from God, it's because they don't want God in their life. It's not because of the evidence. But when I got to studying in the Word of God, you know, there, if you stop and think about it, to be a Christian and people know you're a Christian, there needs to be some evidence. It's almost like if you really serve God and you walk with God, you don't have to go around wearing a big sign on your forehead or a sign on your back that says, I'm a Christian, because people are going to recognize it. And I want to look at David in his unique relationship with God. The book of Psalm is much of it is actually a Psalm of David. It's written by David. It's songs, basically it's rejoicing about a relationship with a living God. And the 26th chapter of Psalm is basically that. It's where David comes before the Lord and he says, examine me, O God. He basically is saying, examine the evidence of my life. So let's read what the scripture says here in Psalms chapter number 26, reading verses 1 through 12. David says, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity and I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, and neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocency, and so will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving, and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of the house of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men. in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an evil place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. Now I want us to look at this scripture for just a minute. I just want to slow down and kind of walk through it. And I want you to think about David's cry before the Lord. And it's hard for me to imagine doing this, but could you imagine standing before God and saying, "Judge me, O Lord." Or saying, "Examine me, O God." It's almost like this. We got two big screens up here, and we're going to take all the events of our lives, and we're going to put them on this screen, and we're going to say, "God, I want you to examine me, and I want you to look at me, and I want you to look at all the events of my life. I want you to look at my heart. I want you to look at my thoughts. I want you to look at the way I live. I want you to look at the people I hang around with. I want you to look at the things I do, and I want you to examine me, God, and see that my life is a life that represents you." Now, for me, that's scary. When I begin to think about it and I think about what David is saying here before the Lord, it begins to be something in my life that helps me understand that David must have had a very, very unique and strong relationship with God. Now, we know that David had failure, but one thing we understand when we've studied the Word of God, and it even speaks of this concerning Solomon, his son. Now, wasn't Solomon wise? We know the Bible says that he was. But Solomon cried out to the Lord, and he said that God would give him wisdom. But there was something about Solomon that was different in his relationship with David, because the scripture says that Solomon walked not before the Lord with a perfect heart, as did David his father. Now, how could David have a perfect heart? We know that he failed. Here's what I want you to understand that's very unique about David that you don't find when you really study about many of the other kings, is that David never ever in Scripture worshipped or followed a false god. He knew who God was, and he cried out to God, and he trusted God. And even when he failed, when his sin was revealed to him, he went and fell on his face before God. David had a very unique relationship with God. We see it in the 26th chapter. He says, "Judge me, examine me, O Lord." But we find it another time in Psalms 139, verse 23 and 24. And this is even probably more popular of Scripture, maybe used more often, where David said this. He said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. And try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Now, what I want you to understand as we talk about these screens here this morning, we would never want the events of our lives broadcast in front of folks. I wouldn't want it. I couldn't stand it. Just to be honest with you, I'd run out the back door, and you'd never see me again. But here's the thing to understand, is that the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord are in every place beholding the evil and the good. There is nothing in your life that is hidden from God. There's no thought, there's no word, there's no action, there's no intent. And David understood that, because when you read of the intimacy of his relationship with God, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want." Very, very unique in his relationship with God. Now, I want us to look at this scripture, and I want us to see just three points from the 26th Psalm. And the first one that I want you to see, and this is the examining the evidence part, is there is evidence of walking with the Lord. And I want you to see that, because as he begins and he says in the first verse, he says, "Judge me." And he begins to say, "I have walked in my integrity." And folks, can I tell you that integrity is important? And I'll tell you what integrity is. I've heard it like this before. Reputation is what people think that you are. But integrity is what you are when there's nobody else around. Now, I want you to think about your life and your relationship with God for just a minute. And I can tell you about my personal relationship with God. I mean, I've been at the church a little while, but folks, there's been years of my life that I wasn't pastoring a church. There were years of my life that I knew that God had put a call on my life, but He didn't have me in a place that I was pastoring. I may be teaching Sunday school, or I may be working in Awana, or I may be working in children's church, but I wasn't doing the things that I felt like God had called me to do. But I can tell you, because of my relationship with God, that God expected me to live just like I was pastoring a church where I had thousands of people. And can I tell you, it doesn't matter whether there's 2,000 in the congregation on Sunday morning or 10 in the congregation on Sunday morning. A man of God is supposed to live for God. He's supposed to live what he preaches. And I can tell you, based on my personal relationship with God, God's never let me get away with nothing. And sometimes I wonder if God don't see it, my wife does. He said, I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted in the Lord. That's important. I heard Brother Quinn preach a message. Miss Martha gave me some tapes of Brother Quinn. I didn't know Quinn personally, but I got to know him a little bit. And one of the elements that he said of the church that's very, very important, an element of the church, is the church must have faith. Y'all remember him preaching that, some of you? You got to have faith. The Bible says that he believeth God, said that he cometh to God, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He said, I have trusted in the Lord. And then he says this, therefore I shall not slide. I don't want people that have a relationship with God to go around worrying all the time about falling away. You shouldn't have to. You walk with the Lord every day and you stand with the Lord, He's going to help you. The book of Psalms, I think it's the 37th chapter, said, a righteous man, though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down. Relationship with God. In the second verse, he's crying out and he says the word, examine me and prove me. The third verse, he comes down and he speaks of the relationship with God, knowing who God is. He says, thy loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. You know, a relationship with God is special. If you study the scripture and you understand what it means to declare the whole counsel of God, the Bible in one place says that we are His friends. And now that's amazing to me. That the God of heaven would take upon Himself the likeness of man and come down and basically God walked among us with flesh to feel pain, to hurt. As the song that they talked about a little bit ago, the scars that were in His hands, the scars in His feet, feeling pain. Why? So that He can make intercession for you and I. Doesn't the scripture say that we have not a great high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities? But he can be, because he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. We are his friends, and he loves us. But the Bible also says that our God is a consuming fire. And the Bible clearly teaches, if you study it, that we should have fear and reverence. That's a very unique relationship. But sometimes we got to be careful to understand He is a God of love and He loves the whole world, but the whole world doesn't love Him. And sometimes we take for granted His love and we walk away from Him, but the Bible says that He chastens those that He loves. I got some boys that I love, but sometimes because I love them, there has to be some rules. How can you say you love your kids when you just let them do anything in the world they want to do? Maybe you just don't want to deal with conflict. Can you imagine every time I was hard-headed, God finally said, well, I'm tired of dealing with you. Just go on and do whatever you want to do. Folks, that scares me more than anything in this world. Anything. He said, thy loving kindness is before mine eyes. Fourth verse. He says, I have not sat with vain persons. And I do not go with dissemblers. I begin to look at that, and here's basically what that means. A dissembler is a person who wears a disguise. It's when somebody acts like one thing and does something else. He says, I can recognize and I know the difference. You know what David is basically saying in the fourth verse here? Now, this is strong to be able to stand before God and say, God, examine me. God, it proved me because, God, I'm not a hypocrite. That's what David's saying. He said, I don't go with dissemblers. I'm not a hypocrite. The word hypocrite or Hippocrates in the Greek means one who wears a mask. And David is bold enough and strong enough in his relationship with God to say, God, you look at me and prove me that I'm not a hypocrite. You ever heard anybody say, well, I'm just, you know, I'm not going down there to that church because that church is just full of nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. Y'all heard anybody say that? I just say, come on, there'll be one more. If your relationship with God ain't right, it don't matter about everybody else. You can't blame somebody else because you're not right with God. You can't blame a family member. You can't blame that person that did you wrong. Folks, everybody's been hurt in church. I've been in church my whole life. The meanest people I've ever known were in a Baptist church. But I go to church because I love God. Fifth verse. Now think about where we're at today. He says, I've hated the congregation of evildoers. I will not sit with the wicked. Basically, he's saying, I will not sit in agreement with the wicked. He's saying, examine me. Look at me, God. And when I look at my life and I look at the scripture, I say, woo. I want to be close to God, but sometimes I'm afraid. You ever prayed a prayer and say, God, I want you to show me the things in my life that are not right. I want you to work on me, God. I want to be close to you, God. And, you know, you're sincere, and God begins to show you stuff. And you say, oh, Lord, all right. That's enough. I get it. Here's David. And he said, I'm not going to sit in agreement with the wicked. And church, can I tell you something? The world is drifting farther away from God. The very last thing we need to do as a church is compromise. Don't. You know, we talk about whether or not we're going to be a part of this group or that group. You got to pay attention to them because sin is not just in the world. It's creeping into the church. Now, I'm not just talking about sin in our life. I'm talking about the things that we have on our bylaws and what we accept and what we don't accept. There's some things that just aren't preached about anymore. You know why they're not preached about? Because so many people are living in it. It's become accepted even in the midst of the church. He said, I'm not going with evildoers, and I'm not agreeing with them. Here's the first evidence. David had evidence of walking with the Lord. He walked with him. Look at number two. There's evidence of honoring the Lord. Folks, we ought to honor God in everything that we do. Everything. My dad taught me, and I can still remember the soft words of wisdom from a Baptist preacher that did not finish the eighth grade. Wisdom. He said, son, everything that you do it like the Bible says. You do it heartily as to the Lord. If you turn out being the president of some company, then you honor God in that position. If it causes you to drift away from God, you have gotten, y'all know the term, too big for your britches. If you are the plumber, if you are the one who sweeps the floor, if you are the janitor, if you are the one who comes and puts down the carpet, if you are the one who paints the walls, if you're the one who cuts the grass, whatever you do it for God and you lift up praise to God in it. If you've been successful and you own businesses, then you honor God in it. Everything you do, you honor God. Sixth verse, he says, I will wash my hands in innocence. And I will compass thine altar. In other words, here's David saying, I'm going to come before you, Lord. What did Paul say? He said, I die daily. Every day, he said, I come before God. Daniel, the Bible says, three times a day, he would turn his face towards Jerusalem and he would pray. David said, I will wash my hands in innocence and I will compass thine altar. The altar is here for us to use as God's children, not just to come once in a lifetime and be saved. We come and say, God, I need your help today. I need God's help. Now, here's something to understand. God God wants to help you. You're His child. I got kids that come to me, and I love my kids. I got one here this morning. I got one off on a youth trip, and I got one that's up in Virginia watching three kids while my grandson's away for training, or my son-in-law. I said grandson, but he's my son now, okay? That's a different message. I don't want to get on a rabbit trail, but he's my son now. But sometimes my kids come to me and they ask for things. And my wife will talk about it. And sometimes this is kind of conversation. They don't deserve that. Do you hear the way they talk to us? Do you hear the way they act? Do you hear what they said, what they did? And I said, all right, we won't give it to them. She said, no, we need to give it to them. I'm saying, what? Now, y'all laugh because y'all know what I'm talking about. Sometimes she calls me and she says, they've been misbehaving. I said, well, we're going to do anything about it this time. Why I say that? I'll tell you why. Because you love your kids and you got an example. The scripture tells us that God so loved the world, He gave His only, only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. I want you to understand something. God loves you enough. He gives you a lot of things you don't deserve. He gives you blessings you don't deserve. And the reason you don't get more is because you don't ask Him for more. He says, I will compass thine altar. Can we get in the altar and say, God, help me with the situations of my life. Help me with my job. Help me with my children. Now, I don't know if y'all have ever prayed this, but God, help me get this fuel pump off this truck. Little things matter. Big things matter. God, help me with my doctor report. But God, help me. And I work on stuff all the time. I like to. But there's a lot of times I'll be trying to break a bolt on something, and I've sprayed it with that break free, and I move from the quarter-inch drive to the half-inch drive, and I think, well, it's either going to break or it's going to break. I pray. My phone rings at work, and I see it's my boss on the other line. I can see the number. I pray. Pray without ceasing. Ask God whatever it is, and He'll come on your behalf. Little things, big things, because you matter to God. David understood that. And he says, I'm going to come before you, but when you bless me, here's what's important. God, I'm going to honor you with everything you do. How do you know that? Look at the seventh verse. Telling about the Lord with thanksgiving. What did he say? He says, and tell of all thy wondrous works. How good has God been to you? Been good. Next question. Who knows it? Who have you told? Who have you told when they say, hey, how's it going in your life? And you say, well, you know, it's better. Do you ever hear God in the background speak to you and you turn around and say, God has been good to me. God has blessed me. God has poured out heaven on me. God has been good. Eighth verse. Evidence of honoring the Lord. He said, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thine house, the place where thine honor dwelleth. You know what David loved? He loved coming to the house of God. I like to hear people that say, well, whatever y'all got going on down there, I'm going to come because I just like to be there. I just like to be there. I like to be around God's people. Went to a wedding yesterday. Enjoyed sitting at the wedding by my beautiful wife. I looked around and I thought and I reminisced of when it was our day. And I thought of our daughter and I thought of others. And I looked at the young people and I looked at the older people. And there was a couple that come in and they were the grandparents and they sat down and I looked at my wife and I smiled because they represent a union that goes in time. And then I saw, it was exciting to me when I saw the young man come down and he stood on the right. And when Ashley walked in the back door, he couldn't control his emotions and tears started flowing down his face. And I thought, that's what I want. Isn't that what you want for your child? But I tell you what was unique to me. The preacher opened the book. And when he read just a little bit of scripture out of the book of Ecclesiastes where it talks about two are better than one, and he talked about the union between a man and a woman, and he smiled and kind of wiggled a little bit. I thought, he wants to preach. And I want to hear it. It was like going to church. And I stood there for just a few minutes and I listened to him. And after the service was over, I wanted to go talk to him. And I said, brother, I know you from somewhere. And he said, I don't know. And he said, you look familiar. And I said, well, you look familiar. I finally realized he looks like a preacher on all these westerns I've been watching. Yeah. I wanted to ask him, are you a movie star? But I want to tell you, when I talked to him, I begin to realize, yeah, maybe I don't know you, but there's something unique about the family of God. The Bible says his spirit, big S, bears witness with our spirit, little s, that we are the sons and the children of God. And I said, I know you because there's something familiar going on in the spirit in the house of God. Been pastoring a church for 32 years. Chartist Baptist Church. His name was Darnell Teal. May not ever see him again in this life, but one day we'll get to talk it over. That's right. David said, I love coming to your house, the place where your honor dwelleth. Now, folks, y'all know I love to preach. I'm never happier than when I'm preaching, except when I hear another man that can preach. It ain't late. I'm going to share this with you. I heard a preacher say this one time. He said, there's two things that'll make a preacher want to preach. And I said, what's that? He said, a preacher that can preach. I said, amen. And he said, a preacher that can't preach. I said, amen. David loved coming to the house of the Lord. Look at the third piece of evidence. In David's life, in Psalms 26, verse 9 to 12, there's evidence of separation from evil in the midst of an evil day. You know where Christians are at today is they're looking for an escape to get away. They are. How do we get away from the evil? How do we get away from a neighbor down the street with pit bull dogs that run up and down the street biting at your kids? Rap music plays so loud, you want to put eardrums, you know, stuff in your ears just to lay down at night. That drives me out of my mind. I'm just being honest. How do you get away from the environment and the places where it feels like people are drifting farther and farther away from God? Somebody said something the other day about going to the ball game. I said, we can get you some free tickets. I said, you're going to have to pay me $1,000 just to get me to go. Now, I know I'm old-fashioned and I'm an introvert and all that stuff, but there's a whole lot going on in this world that I just don't want nothing to do with. And I'm thinking about it all the time. How can I get away? Where can I go? I got news for you. There's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to go. Moving to the country ain't going to work. They got meth addicts out there that'll rob you blind. You go to the Walmart in any place, you will find them. You know what them is? Where do you go? 17th chapter of John, he said, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. And he said, Father, I pray not that you'll take them out of the world, but that you will keep them from evil. Here's the point. As we get closer and closer to the return of Christ, Christians are going to have to deliberately and intentionally separate themselves from the world, or else the world will engulf you. The preacher, I heard a preacher one time preaching, and he talked about this world, and he said, this world will put a pull on you. I remember peer pressure when I was in high school. I thought, well, you know, when I get out of high school, it's going to be a lot easier for me to serve God because I won't be under all this peer pressure. Then I got a job in a construction site. And I remember being on a 6-story building as a 19-year-old boy, and I looked around, and if there was anything in the world you wanted it, you could get it on that job site, on a job site. And I had to realize that it doesn't matter where you're at in the world, you got to decide that you're going to separate yourself. Then I went from a construction site to the corporate world, where I travel and I go places, and I've eaten the finest places in the world. I've been around people that have multiple doctorate degrees. All this, all the things in the world. I've been around all that, and I had to decide, no matter where I'm at, whether I'm working by the street or I'm working in construction or I'm working in a corporate office, I have to decide that I am going to live for God and I am going to deliberately separate myself from this and separate myself from that. The ninth verse, David said, "Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men." What he's saying is, I have a desire to be separated from the world. And he recognized in the 10th verse the evil that was in the world. And can I just say this and I'll try to move on? Folks, there are some things that are just wrong. And they were wrong when this word of God was written, and they're still wrong today. God has not changed. But then in the 11th verse, he says, but as for me, and he made a decision. Remember what Joshua said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." David said, "But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity." He says, "I'm going to walk with the Lord." Then he says, "Redeem me." Have you ever, now I know you're saved if you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior, but how many times do you recognize Him as Savior and you need His help and you cry out to Him, "Lord, save me"? Have you ever had a situation in your life to where you could say, "God, if it's going to ever change or be better, you're going to have to do it because I can't." And then he says, "Be merciful unto me." A recognition and appreciation for the mercy of God. I still pray that prayer. I never come before the Lord and say, "God, choose me, serve me, search me, God, look at me. Lord, just look how good I've been. Don't I deserve a blessing this morning?" My wife might hit me with something. "Don't I deserve a blessing this morning?" David said, "God, be merciful unto me." 12th verse, and he says this, "My foot standeth in an even place." Now, folks, there is something that's constant. Here's the thing about what I want get people to get from God in church. The world's changing, but God's constant. He changes not. He's steadfast. He's still the same Savior that He's always been. He's still there. He still hears your prayers. He's still merciful. And I want to tell you a different message, but He's still coming back. Amen. And we're still going to live with Him in eternity. He said, "My foot standeth in an even place." He said, "I'm planted on a firm foundation." He said, "And in the congregation, I will bless the Lord." And here's what he had. He had a testimony that he says that pleases God. Here's what he's saying. "I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed to say that I love the Lord. I am not ashamed to be a Christian. I am not ashamed to say that I will separate myself from this world and walk with God. I'm not ashamed of what God has done in my life." I love this scripture when I begin to look at it. But I begin to think, not everybody has that relationship with God. You know, there was evidence in David's life that he walked with the Lord, that he honored the Lord, that he separated himself from the midst of the world in an evil day. And the question is there evidence this morning for you that you know the Lord? Scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, says, "Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates." Now, some questions to consider. How do you know that you love the Lord or that you walk with the Lord? Number one, do you love the Word of God? John chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God. All things were made by Him." You know, I love the Word of God. I heard, I wasn't eavesdropping, I just overheard. Somebody in the foyer this morning, they were saying, how they loved to study the Word of God. How they loved to get into things, and God begins to reveal himself to them. David said it in the book of Psalm in another place. He said, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Do you love the Word of God? Number two, does the talk and thought of the return of Christ excite you, or does it scare you? Think about that. If you talk about the return of Christ and you get excited and you say, "One day I'm going to go be with him." You talk about the trumpet sounding, and you know it's not a fearful sound. When I hear the trumpet blow and Jesus Christ returns, he's not going to be a stranger to me. I'm going to know who he is. Which leads to this one. Does the Spirit, big S, of God make you uncomfortable? Do you know there's some people that come to this church, might have been going to church all their life, but they hear somebody preach like me and they say, "He's a wild man." They do. There are people coming here, and we have worship services where people, you know, they get excited. I like to see those ladies that love the Lord take the shoes off. You know, I'm not interested in a concert. I want to worship God. Does it excite you to be around the Spirit of God, or does it make you uncomfortable? If it makes you uncomfortable, it's probably because you're still, like the Lord told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Not familiar with the Spirit of God because you've never met him. Here's another one, question to consider. Consider the screens. Does your Facebook account have pictures on it right now that we can't put on this screen? If it does, you need to get it fixed if you say you're saved. You say, "Well, preacher, that's none of your business." It's God's business. And I'm his mouthpiece. And if I don't stand and sound the alarm, who's going to tell you the truth? Today, people want rock star preachers that won't wake them from their sleep. Christians need to get right with God, and then the church would have enough power that we wouldn't be pushed around by every rotten doctrine that's out there in the world. Here's a question. Do people know that you're a Christian without you having to tell them? I worked with a guy one time who was a functioning alcoholic. And I worked with this guy for years till I found out he was on the finance committee at a big church in town. And I was shocked. I went, "Oh." There's people out there like that. I don't want to be that way. I don't want to be one that wears my religion on my sleeve. I just want to live for God. Do people know that you're a Christian without you telling them? Let's read that verse again, and we're going to have a song. It says, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves, and know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates." Well, what's a reprobate in this context? It is an undisciplined, an unprincipled person who is unable to see or hear the truth. You know, it's almost like you can hear the truth and the truth has no value and it has no gauge until the point that you are no longer affected by the Word of God, by the truth of God, by the Spirit of God. Question as they prepare the song, does the Word of God have an effect on you? And do you want to know the Lord? And I guess this question, does the evidence speak in your favor? You know, I look at David and what his relationship with God, and I think how miraculous and how great. But when I, in my time, comes to leave this world, I want the evidence that I walk with the Lord to be enough that somebody doesn't have to question. Somebody doesn't have to try to come up with something. I want to walk with God. They're going to play a song, "Pray Now." And here's a question. If you've never had a personal relationship with God, if you've never been saved by the grace of God, if you're unfamiliar with the Spirit of God, you need to be saved. You need to come to Christ while God is speaking to you. Well, what about what David said? He basically said in the 6th verse, "I will compass thine altar." How do you get close to God? You got to come to God. I can remember I got saved at 12. Y'all have heard the story. God called me to preach in the ninth grade. I finally surrendered when I was 18. I can remember that time, 18, 19, 20 years old, I went to revivals everywhere. That's what I did. Now, I can remember going in, and I'd go in and sit up front. And, you know, I usually, when the preacher would preach, I'd go to the altar most of the time. Most of the time. And I grew up around some people. A lot of times I figured this out. They'd be looking at me, and you know what they're thinking? What'd he do? What's wrong with him? And it began to bother me a little bit because people, you know, they want to ask you, what did you do, brother? Why you got to go to the altar all the time? Now, ain't nobody like that here. I'm certainly not like that. But I finally realized that I'm going to keep going and I'm going to keep praying until I get to the point that I'm where I want to be in my relationship with God. Because I want to tell you something. As an 18, 19-year-old boy that God's called to preach and you're having to make tough decisions in your life to walk away from people and friends that are hurting you, that are causing you to go down the wrong path, you need the help of God because you can't do it by yourself. Somebody needs to pray now because the evidence on the screen is not what it needs to be. Would you rise to your feet as they play the song? If you'd like to come, would you please come?
There are things in every journey that can break us. There are burdens that can bring us to our knees. But it's in those moments when faith feels weakest that we simply stand our ground and just believe. Pray now, right here in the storm, he's still the same.
every pain, every tear. There's a God who's been faithful to me. When my strength was all gone, when my heart had no song, still in love, He's proved faithful to me. Every word He's promised is true.
Got excited this morning. We've got Brother Roy Woods and Wanda Woods come. They're going to join the church this morning.
Amen.
The glad to have Brother Roy and Wanda here. You know, I've been doing a great job with the choir, and you heard another new song this morning. But they've come to join the church by a statement of faith. I would presume y'all been baptized. I get a move and a second. They'll be accepted. Moving to second, all of me a favor, give me a hearty amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank y'all for coming. If y'all would just meet us in the back, shake hands with folks.